man. God is more than enough for you. Hallelujah. Okay? I don't mean the you that you wish you were. I mean you, where you are at today, what you have to do, what you have to have fixed in your life, the troubles that you deal with, the problem that people cause you, all the complicated things that are a part of your life, God is more than enough for you. He really is. Okay? So what we want to be involved with is making sure that we are not somehow blocking God, preventing God from getting to us what we need for the things concerning us. Okay? But I want to start by reminding you and encouraging you, you are in God's hand. He knows you. He knows everything about you, and He has no problem with you. There are things that He wants to change in you. There are things that He wants you to stop doing. There are things that He wants you to start doing. But He knows how to bring you there. He knows how to save you. He really does. So we can take great courage, comfort from the fact that this is who God is for us. He is our Father. He is our Father in heaven. And because He is, we are actually fine. You need to learn to look at all the things that are troubles in your life and say to them, ah, but God is my Father, and He will help me with all these things. Okay? I want us to go to a few places in the scriptures. Anoop will have one of these guys will have the scriptures up on the screen for us, so you can give your attention there. I'm going to try and wrap up our series on how to watch over your heart today. If you have not heard them or you need to hear them again, the messages are available on our website, and I encourage you to listen to them. It isn't so much because I have such a wonderful voice and you need to hear me again, as much as the things that God is saying, however imperfectly through me, the things that God is saying are very important for your life. This is something we each need to learn if we are going to make progress in what God has for us. We need to learn to watch over our hearts. Okay? Proverbs chapter 4 is where we're going to start. Then I want to go to Psalm 3, and then today I also want to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay? Anoop, when you put up Psalm 4, verse 20 to the end, 27, could you see if you have the New King James Version there? Okay? The other passages, it doesn't matter which version you use. Okay? So here is Psalm 4. Psalm 4 is written in the way of a father talking to his son. Okay? I want you to think of it as our Father talking to you, his son or his daughter. Okay? Don't let the fact that he says my son mean that women don't have to hear this. Okay? It applies to sons as much as it applies to daughters. Okay? If you are his son or his daughter, you need to hear him. Okay? And all of Proverbs chapter 4, this is Psalm 4, right? So it's Psalm 3. Sorry, did I say 4? I want Psalm 3 in the end, but right now I want Proverbs chapter 4. So the instruction in Proverbs chapter 4 repeatedly says, my son, my child, listen to me. Listen to me. You need to hear me. I want to remind you that when God says things like that, it is not because you are somehow disappointing Him if you don't listen. He is not saying you need to do this because He wants you to make Him look good. This is a father talking to the child that he cares for. And so when he speaks, it is because he wants the child to be well, to do well, to succeed. He is not mad at the child. He is not speaking to the child to somehow correct him as much as it is to help him. So please remember, when you read the scriptures, even when God says difficult things to you, He is trying to help you. He really is. God is entirely, God's relationship with you is entirely with a view to helping you because He loves you. So if He tells you to do something, it's not because He gets something, it's because you will benefit. When you go to a doctor and he prescribes you some medicine and he tells you, you need to take this medicine because you have this problem and this medicine will help you. When you take the medicine, is it the doctor who's being helped? Does the doctor benefit from you taking your medicine? No. Why would the doctor then tell you you need to take this medicine? Because you will be helped. Okay, now that picture has problems, but I want you to think of what God says as like medicine. There are things that you are doing that are not healthy. So I want you to take this medicine. Is it for God's benefit? No, it is for your benefit, that you would do well. And so when we then learn these things and talk to our children, again, it must be with that heart. I want you to do well. I want you to be well. This world is very hard. It is ruled by someone who hates you. But God wants you to be well. So let me tell you how God says to do things. Let me tell you how God says you should behave. Let me tell you. Let me teach you the way to live. Why? Because I get something out of it? No. I only have so many years on this earth. My children, God willing, outlast me. I want them to be well long after I get any benefit of them, I don't know, saying thank you or whatever it is. I want them to be well. So, remember that what God says is like medicine for your benefit. Okay? Very much so. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, please. This is the key verse that we have been using to help us with regards to watching over our hearts. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Go ahead, please. Because I don't have a New King James here, so I've got to read it from there. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Okay? There is so much treasure in Proverbs chapter 4, and I encourage you to read it. Again, part of it is the father exhorting the son, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. That should remind you that when God talks to you, He does not force you. He doesn't make you. He doesn't hit you with a stick until you obey. He wants you to listen. And we've talked about this before. The only way that God can have your heart is if you give it to Him. He cannot take it. Not He cannot, He will not take it. You must give it to Him. And that is actually the safest place for your heart, you giving it to Him. So He speaks to us in this way. Listen, my son, incline your ear. Don't just hold to what you already think. Listen. Let your ear hear what I have to say. You need this. You need this. And what He tells us in this chapter, in this section that we've read, that everything that is going on about your life, it is not the circumstances that is the real problem. It is not the people who may be against you that is the real problem. It is not the mistakes you have made that is the real problem. It is what is going on in your heart. It isn't to say that the circumstances and the people and the mistakes you've made don't have an effect on you. But what you must learn is that first and foremost, you must have your heart right before the Lord. Because if your heart is right, all the things concerning your life can find supply in the river of life that flows from God to you and then through you. But if your heart is not well, then even though that river is flowing to you, it cannot flow through you and help you. Even though everything you need is available to you because God is with you, because God is for you, even though that is the case, it'll get stuck. It isn't because God is mad at you. It is just that there is a way things work. And so He says, listen, you need first and foremost, whatever is going on, first and foremost, watch over your heart. He puts it this way in this translation, with all diligence, meaning above everything else, this is the thing you have to be most careful with, most deliberate with, most diligent with. Okay? Everything else, don't be so concerned about how you feel. Don't be so concerned about what somebody else says to you, even though it might hurt. Don't be so concerned about the size of the problem. Don't be so concerned about how big a mistake you've made. The real thing that has to be fixed first is your heart. Because if your heart is well, then every kind of help you need from God can flow to you and through you. So watch over your heart. Okay? Now He says some things in this passage that even though I have not said them directly, we've actually touched upon them. He said, incline your heart. I'm going to read from this translation that I have here. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. And then He says, watch over your heart. I'd like to propose this to you. It's not my point today because we're not really talking about physical healing, but I'd like to suggest to you that all problems with physical healing start with something wrong with the heart. Okay? It is not God holding something back from you. I'm not talking about God is mad at you and so He won't heal you. Jesus has already paid the price. If Jesus has already paid the price, why would God withhold it? Right? That'd be like, you know, Norman wants to bless me, so he calls the grocery store, buys groceries for me, and calls me and says, they're waiting for you, just go and pick it up. So I go to pick them up, and I think, oh, they're not going to give it to me. I haven't paid. They're not going to give it to me. Does that make any sense? Why would the grocery store not give it to me? Unless they're thieves. It's been paid for. So why would I not get it? Likewise, Jesus paid for our healing. So it's not God holding back. It can never be God holding back healing. But there is more involved than just what God wants. And so I'd like to suggest, actually, where we have trouble healing, experiencing healing, one of the things that will have to be addressed is what's going on in your heart. I don't have to remind you, you may be a person or you may know a person who sometimes they think God wants them to be sick. Because God has a purpose. Your will be done, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And they think they are honoring God by being sick. Okay? That is a problem with the heart. It is not that they are idiots, that they're stupid. They have been deceived. And something is in their heart that stops God causing healing to flow into you. It needs to be resolved. It needs to be dealt with. Okay? It's not like God says, oh, what an idiot. When they finally smarten up. No. That's why he says, listen to me. I want to help you. Listen to me. I want to help you. One of the things you have to be willing to do, child, is let go of your own strong thought and listen to what I have to say. See, if you have a thought in your head that you are completely convinced is right, and you think it's right because you think it was God who told you that, then how does God get past that? You have to be willing to let that down. God doesn't, you know, edit your brain, replace the faulty thing with what he wants, and then everything is fine. You have to be willing. This is why God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Okay, God is not mad. But if you hold to your own thought more strongly than anything else, you block God from saying to you, actually, Titus, this is the way it needs to be done. No, 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 God, this is the way it needs to be done. I already know that. Titus, listen to me. Incline your heart. That doesn't mean, you know, bend your ear. It means you've got to be willing to hear what I'm saying to you, not just immediately block it with what you already think. To incline, one person who wrote about this said, when you incline your ear, it means you have to tip, right? To incline means to make it slope, right? Well, you cannot make your ear slope without bending your head. And bending your head is one sign of humbling yourself. So what God is really saying is, Titus, humble yourself. You may have learned things from me, but you do not know it all. And even what you have learned, there is more to it. Don't take a position of heart that keeps me from being able to teach you more. Hear me. Hear me. One of the things that a person going on with the Lord will manifest is humility. Okay? Not because they're supposed to be. It is just one of the fruits of the Spirit, if I could put it that way. An attitude of heart that says, I think I know this, but you know what? I'm willing to be corrected. God can correct me at any time. I'm not after being right. I'm after God. I'm not after winning an argument with my knowledge of doctrine. I'm after God. I want what he has to say. Okay? Now, later on in this passage, he says, keep your eyes fixed. Okay? And I touched upon this when I said, here is a guideline for you when it comes to watching over your heart. Here is a guideline. I want God to be pleased with my reaction to anything. I want him to be pleased with my reaction to trouble, to people criticizing me, to people praising me, to money troubles, to having lots of money, whatever it is, I want God to be pleased with my reaction. Okay, so my goal as I walk through my life, I get up in the morning, I'm groggy, I'm tired, I might be cranky, whatever it is, I haven't had my coffee yet, I want God to be pleased with how I handle my morning. I want God to be pleased with how I crashed my car. I want God to be pleased with whatever it is. The goal of my life is, in that circumstance, I want God to be pleased. Okay? And I remind you, I didn't say I want God to love me. In that circumstance, I want God to love me. Do not go there, because that implies that God only loves you if you do certain things. No, it's too late. God so loved the world, that means you and those who don't believe in God. He loves everybody. He loved them so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. Now, if you don't want to perish, you need to believe. Fair enough. But he loves everybody. Okay? So do not hear me saying, I want God to love me in whatever I'm doing. No, I want God to be pleased with how I react. He already loves me. Because he loves me, I want him to be pleased. Okay? This is how children are meant to be. I'm not saying that our children are necessarily like this, but the healthy relationship of a child with their parent is that the child wants to please the parent. Okay? Leaving that aside, more importantly, you as a child of God, what is healthy for you is always aiming that God would be pleased with how you react, even if nobody else is. You know, there are so many things in your life that you make choices over that other people will never even know about. Nobody, you won't get to be recognized. Look how she did that. Oh, that's just an example for the rest of us. That's just an example for the rest. There are so many things that the only person who knows how you reacted is God. Because so many of these things are inside us, right? Nobody can see into our hearts except by what we let go, let know. I want God to be pleased, even in all the things that nobody else knows about. I still want him to be pleased with how I responded. I'm not doing this for a show. I'm not doing this so that other people say, oh, look at Titus. Whoa. No, I want him who sees the unseeable. I want him to be pleased with my reaction. That's how I keep my eyes fixed. God is my target. I want him to be pleased above all. Okay? What I want to end with, I will go to Psalm 3 here, but I, just for the sake of time, I'm going to jump right to my point in Hebrews. We want God to be pleased. Psalm 3 reminds us that the way you watch over your heart, first of all, you got to agree it matters, okay? Because God says it. It matters that you watch over your heart, because you're never going to watch over your heart if you don't think it's important. Okay? Yeah, it's one of those other things I got to get to. No. This is the most important thing you got to get to. He says, with all diligence, watch over your heart. So this matters above everything else. Okay, so that means I got to be willing to say, yes, Lord, it does matter. It does matter that I don't just let my heart do whatever it wants. I don't want to just react to stuff. I don't want whatever happens that day is how my day goes. No, I'm setting the course of my day. I'm not setting the course of how trouble affects me, but how I'm going to react to trouble, I get to watch over my heart. It matters to me. So you got to embrace that, okay? But then here in Psalm 3, we see the way we do it has to do with how we use our mouths when other things speak to us. All your circumstances are speaking to you, and then the devil tries to use that to get you to take a certain attitude of heart towards it, okay? Psalm 3, fan is blowing my pages away from me. Oh Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Now this happened in a very difficult and dramatic circumstance where everybody else would say, yeah, I can see there's no help for him in God. But you need to understand every trouble you ever have, from I got a splinter to I got a cancer diagnosis that says I'm going to be dead in 2 weeks. Every single trouble, the devil wants to whisper to you, there is no help for you in God. Everything. He is sneakily trying to say, there is no help for you in God. Okay? Now watch what the psalmist David says. But thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Please note, the psalm does not say, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Then the Lord said. That is not what it says. Then the Lord said to my soul, I am a shield to you. There are other places where it says that. But in the face of trouble, who has to say something? You do. You have to say something. I'm old. I'm like 89 now, and I have no purpose in the Lord. Lie. You got to say something to it. You got to say something to it. There is no help for me in God. No, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. If you don't know what to say in a circumstance, start with this one. This is always a good one. I don't see how this is going to work. Ah, but thou, O Lord, you're a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. David had to say something. Why? Because this is an illustration of watching over your heart. Something was trying to consume him. Something was trying to possess his heart. It was a fight, as we saw before, in the realm of the spirit. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with spiritual beings who are always looking to take advantage of a circumstance to mess you up. And you need to stand. So you say, ah, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Do you remember in the passage of Proverbs that we read, it says, do not keep your mouth from deceit. Okay? Do not, I don't remember exactly how he says at the moment, but he said, keep your lips from deceit. That's important enough that I'm going to read it to you. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Okay? What does that mean? Now, obviously, it means don't be a liar. Don't be a person who's tricky with his words, trying to gain an advantage over other people by the way you speak. Okay, obviously, it means that. But it also means when the circumstance says there is no help for him in God, you don't put that in your mouth because that's deceitful. What do you mean there's no help for him in God? What is too difficult for the Lord? How can you ever conclude, even this God can't help me with? Even this God can't help me with. No! That would be having a deceitful mouth. Don't do that. Instead, repeat what God has said to you. I am a shield to you. That's why David is saying, but thou, O Lord, art a shield to me. He's not making it up. In his encounters with God, God had revealed to him, I am a shield to you. So God, when he is in trouble, David puts that in his mouth. Now, each of us who have a relationship with Jesus, we have had God show us things. And so we need to have those things in our mouth, not, I don't think God loves me because if he loves me, why is my circumstance like this? Is that not deceitful? The person being deceived being you? Is that not a deceitful speech? Yes. I thank you, God, that even though this circumstance is going on, you do love me. Okay. Where I want to end today in just a few minutes, in Hebrews chapter 12. I don't have time to go through the entire chapter to set a context, but he is talking here about how what we have is better than what the Jews had, what the people of Israel had. And in verse 18, it says, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and to a blazing fire and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. You have not come to that, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. What I want to end this time with, about watching over your heart, is how do we handle mistakes? How do we handle the mistakes that we've made? How do I watch over my heart when I've made a mistake? Okay? I don't know about you, but I have made some mistakes. And I faced trouble as a result of it. I faced consequences. I have done things that I should not have done. I have not done things that I knew I should have done. And then I face circumstances. And because you are not ostriches compared to me, we're all human beings, it will be similar for you. In the face of trouble, your adversary accuses you. And the accusation is not going to be over things that you cannot believe. It will be very believable. Because of this, you are disqualified. Because of this, God will not help you. Remember, every trouble, the devil is always trying to convince you there is no help for you in God. So how do you deal with that? Because if your heart is convinced, God will not help me, you will not reach out to him. Do you remember in the book of James, it says you don't have because you don't ask. What's one reason people don't ask? They have already decided God would never do this for me. God will not do this to me. Why? Because of look at what I've done. Look at the mistakes I've made. I knew better, and yet I did it. And now I'm facing the consequences of it. There is an English figure of speech. I made my bed, and now I have to sleep in it. I have to live with the consequences of my actions. Now, it is true that there are consequences to your actions that you will face. But that does not mean God disqualifies you from his help. What is the answer for the troubles that we make? The blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. And you need to be a person who values that the blood of Jesus is speaking on your behalf. I'm not saying that that dismisses or disqualifies every problem that arises because you made a mistake. There are going to be consequences, but even those consequences, God will bless you in. If you let him, if you watch over your heart, if you make it possible for him to be able to move through you. So one of the things you and I must do, well, we could put it this way. I just want to say thank you for the blood, standing here today. Only by that blood, what a price you paid, what a sacrifice you made. I just want to say thank you for the blood, that it is speaking on my behalf, that because of it, you do not disqualify me from your help. Even though I have sinned against you, you forgive me. You forgive me. And because I am forgiven, I expect you to help me here. I expect you to help me here. Okay? There is a difference between, I hope he helps me. After what I've done, I'm just hopeful that he'll be so merciful to me. And I understand and I can relate to that. But if you really believe that God has forgiven you, your attitude is not, I hope. It's, hey, why wouldn't he? Oh, because I did this wrong? It's okay, he forgave me. So why wouldn't he help me? This is not to excuse sin. Okay, sin is still deadly, but the price has been paid. And if you confess your sins, he is what? Merciful? No, faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins. Because the blood of Jesus is speaking on your behalf. The problem is, you're operating as if you don't hear it. So come back. Ah, but the blood is speaking on my behalf. Even this horrible thing I did, he has forgiven me. So I'm not hoping God helps me. I'm expecting God to help me. Yes, I may be disciplined. I may be corrected. It may be horrible, my circumstances, but God will not abandon me. He will turn this to my good. And this is one of the ways that we have to watch over our hearts. Now, I have spoken in terms of a dramatic thing, like say when David sinned with Bathsheba. But you know what? Your adversary doesn't wait for spectacular sins. He uses every little mistake against you to accuse you. God's not going to help you. I mean, come on, that's not even important. Why would God help you there? Ah, you did it again. You never get this right. If that gets into your heart, it will block what God can do through you. So, watch over it. Ah, thank you for the blood that is speaking on my behalf. There's another passage in Hebrews that talks about your conscience being cleansed by the sprinkling of blood. There are times, because of how we've lived or things that are going on, or even just our emotions, we feel that God is not hearing me. I'm disconnected from him. What do you need in that situation? If there's sin, repent. No question. I'm not excusing sin. But what you often need is that there's nothing wrong. It's just that the thing inside you that detects, that senses, that knows, has been dirtied, and it needs to be cleansed. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Father, again, reset my conscience by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus so that I can hear you again, that I'm not out of tune with you. I want to be in tune with you. So if there's anything that I've fallen for, a trick, a scheme that I'm listening to, reset me there, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to stop there for the sake of time. Thank you for your patience. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we just present ourselves, and I offer to you what I have spoken and ask you not merely to rubber stamp it, but to take what is precious and work it deep within us, Father. What is worthless, blow away. It doesn't matter. But what is from you and what we are in need of, I ask you to pursue and capture each one of us who are here and anyone who hears these words. I ask you to capture our hearts with the wisdom of God in it, that we would be those who are taking our places and working the will of God, and we are helped because our heart is being kept by the truth of what you have said. I just thank you for the privilege of being your son, the privilege of being your daughter, and we just welcome you, Lord. Holy Spirit, see if there be any hurtful way in us, and lead us in your everlasting way. Amen. Amen.